This is the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum, where we experience and explore mindfulness. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of Mark's mindfulness teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome. It's so good to see you and to be practicing together today. My name is Allison Pimentel, and I'm a psychologist. I'm a mindfulness meditation teacher. Before that, I was a longtime practitioner of mindfulness meditation, and I teach at MARC, the Mindful Awareness Research Center at UCLA, and I'm also the co-director of Mindful USC. And I love sharing these practices, and I love being here in this beautiful place. And I just want to give a special shout out to the online community. We really miss being with you too, and I want to let you know that I'm thinking about you, and I appreciate your presence through the live stream. So we come together on these Thursdays to practice mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness is simply a way of paying attention on purpose to the present moment, so this moment that's happening right now, not the one that came before or the one that will come next, but this one, with an attitude of openness and acceptance and willingness to be with what is, not so that we accept the status quo, the vast inequities in our society and in our world, but that we come to know reality as it is, and then through our wisdom and our groundedness, we can mount a skillful response. So mindfulness is a personal practice, but it's a collective practice too. We don't just practice to become better meditators. We practice so that we can move through the world with greater groundedness, compassion, wisdom, and so that everything we do is infused with these qualities as opposed to qualities of agitation, distress, feelings of separation. So, you know, mindfulness is a really dynamic, multifaceted kind of experience. And each week, I or Diana or one of the other teachers shares some different aspect of mindfulness with you. And this week, as I was reflecting on what I wanted to share, kind of mulling it over in my mind, thinking about it, I received the shirt. And for those of you who can't see it, it says grateful. And I was like, oh, there's the theme for the week. Gratitude, gratefulness. And, you know, mindfulness and gratitude or gratefulness are really closely connected. So you could say that gratefulness or gratitude is a form of mindfulness because it's a way of paying attention. It's a way of being open to the sensations of goodness in our lives, the feeling of appreciation for the things that are good. And what's really powerful about gratitude is that it helps us to be present with the good in our lives, even when things aren't necessarily so good. Even when there's pain present, when there's strife present, when there's suffering present. I have noticed in my own life that gratitude has been a really big antidote to feelings of dissatisfaction that may arise because it orients me to the gifts that I've been given as opposed to what I might perceive as lacking or wrong or bad. And I was just thinking about this morning. It's been really true with medical challenges, medical crises that I've experienced in the past or that I've supported loved ones through. And I think it's, you know, relatable because we're all in these human bodies that age, that are subject to illness, accidents, environmental toxins. You know, many of us have had the experience of being in distress medically. And I was reflecting just this morning on how in those moments especially, gratitude or gratefulness has helped me to mine the experience for the beauty and the gifts that are there. That really shifts the question from why me to why not me? Why not any of us? And now that it's like this, you know, how do we respond with compassion and with openness and with love? It reminds me of a story that I heard Deepak Chopra tell. He was being interviewed by Oprah. Deepak Chopra is a medical doctor who also is a champion of indigenous and natural ways of healing. And he was talking about his time when he ordained as a monk for a month in Southeast Asia. And as a part of that experience, he went around each day making alms rounds, so bringing his bowl to different members of the community who fill up the bowl with food as a way to support the spiritual life of the monastics that are living in their midst. And after a few days of this, his senior monk came to him and said, you know, how's it going? And he said, well, it's so painful. I was not prepared for how much pain my feet were going to be in. I've never walked barefoot through the forest and the towns and the roads, and it's excruciating. And the senior monk said to him, yeah, it's really painful. That foot that's on the ground hurts so much, but the foot that's lifted, there's relief there. Place your awareness there, right? So it's the lifted foot. In any given moment, we can choose to place our attention on the foot that's on the ground, on the place of suffering, on the thorns, on the shards of glass, or we can place our awareness in the relief of the lifted foot. And that story also reminds me of a teaching given by Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen master. And he talks about the non-toothache. So, does anybody here have a toothache? You're so lucky. I don't either. So, Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, when you have a toothache, has anybody here had a toothache? Of course, yeah, right? We all have teeth. So, he talks about how when you have a toothache, you know, all you can think about is the toothache. It's so painful. And then and it's kind of scary because it involves dental intervention and who knows what. And then you find relief from your toothache, and you're so relieved, and you're so happy, and you're so grateful. But then you sort of drop that. I mean, it's not like we all walk around giving thanks for not having a toothache. So Thich Nhat Hanh writes, when I have a toothache, I discover that not having a toothache is a wonderful thing. I had to have a toothache in order to be enlightened, to know that not having one is wonderful. My non-toothache is peace, is joy, is gratitude. So if we look deeply into this present moment, we can be with the non-toothache, with the lifted foot. And this is gratitude or gratefulness. Research has linked gratitude with a whole range of benefits, including strengthening your immune system, improving sleep patterns, feeling optimistic, experiencing more joy, more pleasure, being more helpful and generous, feeling less lonely, less isolated. So it's good stuff. And of course, it's something that we experience spontaneously, naturally. We say thank you a lot. We may experience gratitude a lot. And it's also something that can be cultivated through practice, through meditation practice. And that's what we're going to do together today. We're going to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. All right, so why don't you find a way of being that's comfortable in the body, finding a posture that's at once at ease and alert. Let's take a deep community breath in together and let it go. Beautiful. Once again, fill the body with breath and release it. And as you settle in, I invite you to open to sounds. To open to the sounds in this room. The sound of my voice, the sounds of people shifting. Open your awareness further still to any sounds you may be able to perceive outside of this room. See if you can open your awareness beyond that to sounds even farther away. And perhaps even to the sound of silence beyond that. And now bringing the awareness back in to the internal sounds. Perhaps you can hear the sound of your heart beating, your breath moving, your belly gurgling. It is lunchtime. And as you open your awareness to sound, give thanks for your ability to hear. Just thanking your ears for allowing you to hear the voice of dear ones, your favorite music, the birds singing. You can silently say thank you. Thank you, ears. Thank you so much. And now we can shift our awareness to the sense of smell. So just beginning by noticing what you can smell right now, in this moment. Maybe there is no strong odor present for you, no strong scent. And then you can just smell what air smells like. As you breathe, you can simply offer thanks to your nose and your entire olfactory system for allowing you to smell. Smell the smell of freshly baked cookies or the smell of your newborn grandchild, the crisp air after a downpour. Without your nose, you couldn't taste your favorite foods. You couldn't breathe in the scent of the ocean air. So give thanks. Giving thanks for your ability to smell. And now to your taste buds. Noticing the taste in your mouth right now. Just sensing into this area of the body through which you take in so much pleasure. your tongue and your mouth and your taste buds. Let you taste your favorite food, your favorite drink, that oat milk latte you love, the food that's cooked by family members, old recipes, all of it nourishing your system. Thank you, mouth. Thank you, taste buds, for allowing me to experience the world in this way, the spices. Really, through your mouth, you can engage with all of the flavors of the world, if you wish. And now your skin, this sheath that covers you, protects you, that enables you to feel. Just noticing for a moment what you feel right now with your skin, the temperature of the air on the parts that are exposed, the texture of your clothing. The pressure of your legs and bottom against the seat, your back. Maybe the brush of hair against your cheek. This skin lets you feel the sand at the beach, the breeze on your neck. Give thanks. Thank you, skin, for allowing me to feel. For allowing me to feel my life. And now to your eyes. Whether your eyes are closed or open, notice what you see right now. If the eyes are closed, maybe you see shapes or colors, movement, shadows. Such a miraculous part of the body, these eyes of yours. To whatever degree they are able to see without or with glasses or contact lenses, you can send waves of gratitude to these magical eyes of yours for allowing you to see the world around you. For the eye contact you share with loved ones, with friends, with colleagues, with strangers on the street, the spark of connection that occurs eye to eye. Thank you. Through these eyes, you see the smiling faces of family members, your community. You may also see suffering through these eyes, pain. And through these eyes, you can offer warmth, care, and love. To whatever degree your eyes let you see, thank them for all that they do. Thank them for letting you shine forth through them. And now, having connected with and offered gratitude to our senses, I invite you to just notice how you feel in your heart. What does gratitude or gratefulness feel like? Is it tender? Is it spacious? Is it poignant? Is it joyful? Just take a moment to feel. And you may even give thanks to your ability to feel. And now let's shift the focus of our gratitude toward the people in our lives. And if you'd like, you can now call to mind someone in your life who is easy to love. Someone for whom your warmth flows. And since people can be complicated, sometimes a pet works really well for this part of the practice. Calling to mind a human or another kind of creature who's easy to love, and just picturing them sitting in front of you, smiling at you. And through your heart space, thank them. Thank them for being in your life. As if wherever they are at this very moment, they could receive your gratitude, your love, your care. Now you can choose another person who's easy to love. And if there aren't so many people in your world who are easy to love, you can try someone you don't know, public figure, someone from your lineage of spirituality or religion or professional lineage. And see them in your mind's eye, smiling at you, and thank them. Thank you so much. For enriching my life. Now bring to mind someone who has made your life easier in some way, a big way or a small way, even someone who held the door open for you or let you go ahead of them in traffic or helped you pick up something that you spilled. Someone who eased your way even a little bit as you walk this path. See them in your mind's eye and thank them. Thank you. And now you can recall a teacher someone whose wisdom or kindness or information has illuminated your understanding in some way, either formally or informally, in person or through their writings or their presence or their being. Thank you. Thank you so much for expanding my mind, for helping me to grow and learn. And finally, sending your gratitude out to all the people, seen and unseen, known and unknown, who are or who have impacted your life. Just offering thanks for your life experience. And the people who populate your life. See if you can gather up all the people into your heart and just hold them there for a moment. Just feeling into a sense of gratitude. And finally, let's come into a sense of gratitude to this present moment. The lifted foot, the non-toothache of this moment. Just being here with your breath, with your beating heart, in the good company of one another, in community. Is offering gratitude for whatever measure of health you are given in this moment, for whatever measure of ease or peace you are able to tap into. This moment is the fruit of all that's come before and the seed of all that will come after. Give thanks for the richness, for the lessons. And as you prepare to shift out of this period of practice, I invite you to set an intention to take whatever measure of gratitude or gratefulness or insight you may have touched into with you into the rest of your day. And in your own good time, you can begin to bring some movement back in the body. Maybe wiggling toes or fingers or shrugging through the shoulders. Whatever feels good. Give yourself that gift. And then as you're ready, slowly allowing your eyes to float open. Thank you so much for your practice and your presence. It's so beautiful to sit together If you're interested in learning more about mindfulness, please check out the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center. Lots of really great courses and opportunities to practice. There's information right outside, along with a sign-up sheet for the mailing list, both for the Hammer and for Mark, so you can know what's going on. And I'll stick around for the next 10 minutes for Q&A for anybody who wants to stay, or just conversation and reflection. Thanks. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I forgot to mention, thank you for your question. I forgot to mention that ushers will be coming with mics so that you can be heard, but I did hear you. And you asked if my water meditation was going to be posted, and there were some AV issues, so I'm not sure if that's stop them from posting it, but I can check, or we can check with the AV team. Okay, great, thank you. If you wouldn't mind just waiting for the mic, so that, thank you.
Is there an in-person meditation on Mondays?
I believe there is a weekly meditation on Mondays through Mark, but I believe that is still online. But check on Zoom. But check the website to make sure, because things are shifting. Marv Belzer does that one.
Thank you very much. You know, I cannot focus. I always push myself to come back. It's for reading as well. When I'm reading a book, I have to go back again because I can't focus very much. So what do you advise for me?
Thank you for your question. Does anybody else share that challenge of having a hard time focusing? Yeah, I see some hand raised. So you're not alone. It's a common experience, and my advice to you is to keep doing exactly what you're doing, is to keep coming back. Mindfulness and the art and practice of paying attention, of being able to place your mind where you want it to go, as opposed to, you know, where it just goes, is something that can be developed. It's like a muscle. You know, you do bicep curls, you can strengthen the muscle of your attention, of your presence, of your concentration, and you do that by coming back again and again and again, just like we come back again and again and again to the breath in a breath meditation. When the mind wanders, we just bring it back. And it's not wrong or bad when the mind wanders. It's actually a good thing, because it's a moment. Thich Nhat Hanh might say it's a moment of enlightenment. It's a moment when we're aware that, you know, we're just out there as opposed to being right here. And then we can do something about it. So I'm glad to see you back after last week, and I hope you keep coming back. Thank you. Any other questions or even just reflections or comments about what that was like, the practice for you? Thank you. For those of you who couldn't hear, she said that she's quite hyper, so coming here helps her to feel calm, even though she needs more practice. And that's the beauty of being together, you know? We could just catch the vibe. You know, whether or not we're able to actually feel that the mind has settled, because the mind is very busy, we can feel at least the aspiration for that, and we can feel the aspiration of all of the rest of us who are here and tap into that, and that feels good. Feels good for me too. There's a question over there. Oh, go ahead, please, and then we'll go to you next.
Hi. Can you be grateful to people who have passed?
What a beautiful question. Yes. Grateful to people who have passed. Absolutely. It's a beautiful practice. I was practicing with another group doing similar practice just yesterday or the day before, and a woman shared that her grandfather had recently passed, and she was just feeling waves of gratitude and waves of love, and it was quite beautiful. So yes, absolutely.
Thank you. I wanted to preface this by saying that I'm terrible at getting enough sleep, but I've noticed that I will feel like I've drifted off, but I'm still aware of the guided meditation, and it's a totally different state of thinking, but it's still, I don't fight it. Can you talk to that?
Sure, thank you. I'm sure other people can relate to that too, myself included. You started by saying you don't get enough sleep, and I think one thing that these practices do is really kind of underscore that fact for us in our lives, because it's really easy to get sleepy when our eyes are closed. I mean, generally when we close our eyes, we go to sleep, and so this is something different that we're doing. We're our eyes are closed, but we're remaining alert. We're actually, involved in a very deliberate process of paying attention. It's really common to fall asleep and be sleepy during your meditation practice. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It just means, that you're tired. Over time, some people find that sleepiness during practice decreases because, the muscle of awareness is strengthened. But that's not true for everybody, and your attitude of acceptance is super in line with mindfulness. It's like you don't berate yourself about it, you're aware of it. So I would say to you the same thing, keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like it's right on track. All right, well, maybe I think we have time for one more question if there is one. Okay, so I will look forward to seeing you back in a month, the first Thursday. I may be back sooner. It'll be posted if I am. I'm always here the first Thursday and sometimes another one. But each week we're here, and it's either Diana or another one of the teachers who are sharing some facet of that multifaceted practice that we love called mindfulness. And thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening to UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum. For more information on our classes, workshops, and retreats, please go to marc.ucla.edu. That's marc.ucla.edu. Join us each week for a new lesson in mindfulness.